biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Roasted Joe Brody.
And this is Follow Bob.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
Is it time for wrestling talk?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
It's time for my wrestling talk.
Don't bother me. It's time for wrestling talk.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents Wrestling Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got the Bad Boys here with me for our wrestling talk. All right. Guys, you doing good? You ready for some live action talk for this past week?
Oh, yeah.
Great week of wrestling, right? Let's start with our favorite. Our favorite. We can never start this show without not starting with our favorite show. That would be WWE Raw. And everything is leading up to SummerSlam. The second, Sin City, please stop it with those that look you're giving. Like, you find that what I just said was not true and factual.
What can I say? I'm a very expressive individual without saying a word.
All right, so let's get right into it. Takes of the show. I should let King Lucky go. I mean, hey, Randy Orton wants Drew for SummerSlam, brother. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked about it. Some people think that it was hot-shotted and they should have went later, but, you know, I'm fine with it.
You predicted it, right? You predicted it. And you were the one that said it for many weeks.
I called it.
You called it. You called it. Wear the fucking hat. Just do it.
Listen. He delivered a good promo. I'll tell you one thing. The one thing I noticed within, like, the first couple of segments in the show is that everybody talked about they woke up this morning and decided to challenge for the belt. So I didn't like that. I thought the writers could have did better because you could tell that they gave them those lines. But I like the challenge. I think it's good. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Randy Orton dethrones him right away because then that'll tell you how much stock they have in Drew. You know, if he comes out and beats him in the first, you know, outing, if you will. You know, some people on this show don't have any faith in Drew. And we'll see what happens, see what WWE does with this. But I'm excited for the match.
I have faith in
this
Drew.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's a good talent. And, you know, it's tough because we're in the COVID era right now. And so he really hasn't got that much love, but you know, it's a good feud that I think they could probably do for a couple of months, couple of pay-per-views, and we'll see what they do with it. But elsewhere, the big one, Sasha 2 Belts Banks.
Told y'all she won the week prior. Y'all just didn't believe it. She had to do it twice.
Yeah, she got it, and so it could be a DQ, but you know what? They got all the gold now, all the gold. So, I was happy about that.
Explain to me really quick, too. How does that work that now if you get DQ'd, the belt goes to the person who you're wrestling?
Damn.
You know, that was the setup. No, that was the setup.
They set it up.
That was the setup that Stephanie said.
That's true.
There will be a winner.
Hey. You know what? Does it make sense? You know?
Mama said it.
No. Yeah, but at the
I don't feel comfortable calling Stephanie McMahon Mama. Let's stop that.
Okay.
But at the same time, too, you have this now wonderful ability for rules to just be made up. So, you know, it's kind of nice. And look at, you know, speaking of Drew, look at Dolphin Drew.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, I know not a lot of people wanted to see it because Nia Jax. But I actually thought for that matchup, I really wanted to see them do a match, you know, and what we got.
Oh, my God. Really? You want to see them do a match?
I want to
see them do a match. I don't know if it'll ever happen now. What is going on with those two?
I wanted to see it that night. Okay? That's what I wanted to see.
Oh, boy.
But,
your instant gratification ever since it amazed me.
I mean, Nia beat the shit out of her. I mean, you know, some of those spots I was like, fuck. I hope Shayna doesn't get injured because she was tossing her around pretty bad.
That would just be positive course for everything that we've seen from Nia.
And then elsewhere, I mean, I don't know if anybody else cares about eye gouging more than Vince. I mean, for fuck's sake, Aleister Black now, is he going to come back with an eye patch?
Yeah, he looks better in an eye patch.
Obviously, Ray did not sign the fucking contract, so they had to put the eye patch on someone.
There you go.
And Aleister
was the other one who got thrown off the tower, too, right?
Yeah. There's a connection.
Yeah. But overall, I thought Raw was a good show. I really enjoyed it. You know, it was entertaining.
That's one word for it.
It was something. I mean, like you had mentioned, King Lucky. I mean, Shayna Baszler. Just, I really want her to be strong.
She does it for you?
Do well. No. Oh. Let's back up a little bit.
I thought that's what that sounded like. Excited, in fact.
No, that's not what that sounded like. I want her to be to have a pivotal role in this women's division at some point, and I just feel like I'm not seeing it. Maybe I'm not looking at the whole goddamn picture. Maybe I'm like Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black, and I only see half of the picture that everybody else sees, which is not. I'm not liking what I've seen the past two. Well, mostly this Raw. The last week promo she did excellent. You know, match this week. I did not like her, and that just this was awful. It was awful, and I did fear for her work safety. you know, and again, you know, I like what they're trying to do with Mustafa, or like Truth calls him Mufasa. You know, I like that. I am a fan of Mustafa Ali. I'm pleased to see that they're trying to fit him in the rotation. We'll hope and see where it goes. I think it's going to go somewhere this time.
I'd say make them a hacker.
I think they tried that. We still don't know who's behind the truth.
Well, one thing also to mention, Raw, we do have our tag team championship for the SummerSlam. We're going to have Street Profits versus Andrade and Garza. So that should be pretty good, you guys think, eh?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think this is an opportunity for them to finally turn those guys against each other and do that payoff. We'll see what happens. I think that if they do, they could have some very good matches over the next couple of months, you know, just really tell a story. And then who's Zelina going to choose? You know, whose side is she going to take?
You really are. Like, we should just call you, instead of, like, hand job, you're just hand.
look. Michaels. Okay, you have to understand one thing about King Lucky. King Lucky is like, he is like an open book read for kids who can't read so well. So, I mean, we're always going to get this week in and week out. It's just let it go.
Oh, I'm saying.
Machiavelli, baby.
You don't even put the titles on them?
No.
Give them the fucking belts. Build up the fucking plot, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Raw.
All right. That's Raw. Unless you guys have anything else to say, we're going to move on to the second favorite, Impact Wrestling. Why you say that?
Second favorite.
Oh.
It was a the show shit the bed this week, man.
You think so?
It was it was bad. It was fucking bad. And you know, they just got started with Wrestle House.
Yeah.
Fucking canceled that.
What?
Yeah, I did enjoy
it. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. This whole thing is... Go ahead.
I thought the Deonna Purrazzo versus Kimberly match was very good. I thought EC3 continued to impress. But overall, I was disappointed. I mean, I thought coming off of... You know, I thought they turned a corner after Slammiversary and they signed all the talent, repackaged the show and things like that. Sorry for me.
Okay, DJ, tell us what actually is going on with Impact, please.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I did enjoy a little bit of Impact Wrestling. First, they did start off with the Impact World title with Eddie Edwards against Trey. And of course, you know, those are great competitors. So the match went really good, and Eddie retained that title. He's going to be a fighting champion, so every week he's going to be taking on someone new. And then I guess after the end of the match, Eric Young comes out and to threaten Eddie. So it looked like it's going to be something building up between them pretty soon. Overall, I thought that was good. Wrestle House, which we talked about, is their little reality TV show. Look, it's something that is different, and I really didn't know what to expect from it. In many ways, you can think of it as being corny, but I found it still entertaining. There's a couple of things from it. They had a fight for the bed, okay, which the bed, okay, so of course these guys are all living in this house, right? And there's a shortage of beds in the house. So
sounds like a typical Tuesday night for Sonny.
Man. So we have both Ace.
That was good.
Yeah. Ace Romero decided, hey, you know, look at this ring that's located right outside of the house. That's going to be my bed, the whole ring. But then Crazy Steve came up, and he jumped in the ring first, which caused a match between Crazy Steve and Ace Romero for the who's going to take the bed in the ring. Great stuff. I enjoyed that. Okay. So they had that
already. From that, it just sounds better than Raw,
and it doesn't last as long either.
Right.
Does it ever last long when it's Raw?
Sometimes it lasts a little too long. I mean, I just feel like it just hurts after 2 hours.
So you got Rohit Raju still trying to figure out how to get himself into a match, and he runs into TJP and Falaba in the back, which they had a cool little funny segment that they ran, and he talked TJP into getting his hands on that X Division title, but you know, why don't we see if we can, you know, if it's some interest of you, I can go run it by Chris Bay, and maybe we can have some sort of a tag match. Which, you know, TJP like, yeah, whatever. So Rohit just goes running in the back because he's trying to get himself in a match because he hasn't been in one. Remember, he's the guy that's last minute. So when all else fails, where's Rohit? You know, so he's trying to make himself pretty much relevant. So he found Chris Bay, and you know, Bay's like, dude, whatever, you know, that's what he want. You know, you could be my tag partner. I don't care. But you can tell that Bay doesn't really care anything about Rohit. Funny segment there. Moose. I mean, I'm still enjoying. He gets an interview, right? And while he's getting his interview, Heath approaches. And he wanted an invitation because, remember, that's the only way you're going to now get a TNA championship title is by invitation. So Moose had to remind Heath that he doesn't work there. And Heath said, hey, look, okay, but I got a contract from the TNA committee, okay? that I can have a title match for this. And Moose straight calls him a liar, saying, dude, come on, man. How do you do that when TNA doesn't exist? Which then he realizes what he says, and he gets angry with Heath, okay, and says, you know what? I'm giving you a title shot. Which from that point, the good old Impact executive management, Scott D'Amore, comes out and says, look, first off, I don't even understand how Heath keeps getting in the building, but I tell you what, being that now you give him this match, if he wins, he now will get a contract to be on Impact Wrestling. So we can kind of see where that's going. Good stuff, though, okay? All right. We had Cousin Jake and Cody Deaner, the Deaners, okay? Woo, those Deaners. Love those Deaners, okay?
You say you like those taters? Taters?
Oh, man. Okay. Now,
Hold up 1 second, DJ. Yeah. Impact. I see King Lucky, and he's getting all like, oh, I can't believe this.
Yes.
King Lucky does not like the Deaners nor Cameron Grimes.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're starting to see something from Lucky.
You know what's funny is you guys say that, but I actually think the Deaners are pretty funny. I don't like Cameron Grimes. Fucking sue me. But I think the Deaners are somewhat funny. So let's put it there. That's why I'm left.
They stare back at Wrestle House now, back on the show here, and there, you know, it comes to a point where the two members of the family can't seem to get along in this room. So what end up happening is they end up in a loser must leave the room match. And again, that's with Cousin Jake and Cody Deaver, okay? So they have to go outside to the ring, okay, to now have this battle. Now, the referee, I forget old girl's name, the wife of Eddie Edwards. I don't know. Do you guys know her?
Oh, Alicia.
Yes.
Alicia Edwards.
Yes. So she is the ref. And eventually the winner of that is Cousin Jake, but she doesn't know which Deaner is which. So she just said, you know, ding, 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 ring the bell. Deaner's won.
But it was. So let me guess. All Deaners look alike, right?
I guess so.
Corbin's lucky.
Right.
Well, I thought Cameron Grimes was on Impact Wrestling.
Oh, my God.
Well.
So just a couple of more things that was pretty. We had Katie Forbes, right? She was doing this whole thing where she was going to show us some exclusive photos that we were all going to get to see from her for free $99. Okay, we were excited.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Can't be too great to see on broadcast TV.
So she came down with RVD doing her dance moves, which, you know, he was very entertained by. And now here we go. The photos are about to come up onto the screen. And what do you know? Sami Callihan, the hacker, put his face where her face is on these provocative photos. And
that's awesome.
And she gets upset, just pissed off in the ring and everything. So, and before that whole segment happened, she was pissed off with Sammy because she didn't know who he was. And while she was walking in the back area of the building, she goes, you know, Sammy comes to ask her a question, and she's like, I don't talk to fans, and how did fans get in here? You know, to Sammy. Oh my Lord. Okay. So anyway, that was a fun segment. Last but not least, the Good Brothers had a match with Reno Scum. And, of course, the Good Brothers won that match, which is setting them up for a fight with Madman Fulton and Ace Austin. And that fight, after their match, that fight took on, started in the ring, then it went backstage and ended up outside, which was, you know, the fight ended out there. And it's kind of dope. They ended the show by the cameraman pretty much getting knocked down. And when the camera just kind of went off the air, that was the end of the show. Overall, again, I thought it was entertaining. I mean, I don't know what King Lucky was looking for. Maybe he was looking for more matches. But for TV, I thought it was pretty good. And they did have the matches, yes, with Kimberly and Deonna Purrazzo, which, by the way, Jordynne Grace came back from there too. So she came back and she whooped up on Deonna, and we'll see where that goes from there. But that's Impact Wrestling. Again, I thought it was a pretty good show. Uh-oh, Simon Street, are you bored or are you just tired? What's going on?
No. That's usually time to move on to the next one.
All right.
Impact was amazing.
No, actually, wow. The soothing tones of DJ Impact's voice were lulling Simon Street to sleep.
Yeah, man, you like Quiet Storm in the motherfucker.
Okay,
man,
I'm all right.
Hey, I'm not in a bad way. I love the breakdown of Impact because, you know, it's a show that I can't take in every week. So
yeah,
thank you for doing that, brother. And yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. Hashtag better than Raw.
Yeah.
Just from your recollection of it and you talking about it, shit sounds like it.
And I tell you what, Raw could learn to get us there. Only takes 2 hours, just like the great Impact does. You don't need 3 hours of Raw.
It's called commercial money, but that's okay, Simon.
Well, yeah. Get me off in 2 hours. That's all I ask, Raw. Get me off in 2 hours.
But it sounds like Impact was better than AEW.
AEW has some stumbles.
I'm not even going to sell that.
AEW definitely had some fermented orange smell.
Well, I'll tell you that. Before we jump over to AEW, let's do WWE again. Let's go to NXT. And
yes.
Yeah, let's talk about what we saw there.
You know what we saw? We saw Cameron Grimes going straight to the moon.
That's right, Cameron Grimes.
He sure did. He got his fucking ass kicked.
Yeah, it was. Why don't you see me? Do you see me?
Let me say this. Because I saw the Adam Cole thing, mm-hmm. and they, for those that haven't seen the video, mm-hmm. Adam Cole is such a great worker because I believed. And, you know, I'm the smart king, smart Valley, you know it.
Yeah.
But I did believe. I thought this was real, especially when Triple H came out and did the apology.
You thought that was real?
Yeah, I thought it was real. I mean, you talked some big shit. I took time away from my family and all this. And, man, he sold it so well, you know.
Triple H right now going.
Interesting to see. Oh, yeah. I have no qualms.
Okay, got him.
Yeah. I still love it.
No, he's an easy mark, so it wasn't a guy.
Yeah.
Well, Triple H is either doing this or he's going.
No. He's like this. Because he knows like that's print money, baby.
Yeah.
He's like those smarks will buy anything.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right.
I enjoyed it. But it was a good hook, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this though. Who is that guy in terms of, like, what is that?
He's a talk show host. He used to play in the NFL. He's a talk show host. He's always very, you know, provocative with the stuff that he says and, you know, trying to needle people. So he's been on WWE TV before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I should have saw it. You know, they'll figure out a spot for him at Takeover or whatever the case may be, but he's been on their programming before, so this is nothing new. But
does he because he's a football player, does he then assume Gronkowski's contract while Gronk is actually playing football? Then when Gronk's not playing football,
maybe
they kind of just switch off.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But, yeah.
Let's get back to NXT because it really was a solid show.
Yeah. All that I'm going to say on the whole Pat McAfee thing is these two had worked a spot at an NXT house show back in 2019 that they had blasted all over WWE TV because at the time this was when the NFL playoffs were going on, and Pat McAfee is a commentator in some regards for college football, but also the NFL. So obviously the mainstream appeal is definitely there. Pat McAfee is a very, very charismatic guy. Somebody who has been a pro wrestling fan his entire life. He grew up in Pittsburgh, PA. So, I mean, he's, you know, there's another Adam Cole connection right there. It really wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the entire time it was, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, bring you in and pair you up and this is how we're going to do this. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as
the interview happened and all the chicanery happened on Pat's show. Yeah, thankfully, I knew that we were off to the races with a good angle. So I'm very interested to see what happens next more than anything.
Well, one of the cool things about NXT that night was this three-way with, everybody's mom's guilty pleasure, Dexter Lumis, versus the Pretty Prince and your old gym coach from high school. that was an awesome, awesome match from start to finish. I thought, I don't know if I can call it pairing them up, but putting those three together with their different types of styles was amazing. I was thoroughly entertained. That freaking front flip that Lumis did was sick. And I've seen it done by other people before, but the way he did it, he's just a fucking psycho.
Yeah, kudos to the director, whoever was directing the episode there, because they completely missed his landing. Great job, guys.
Well, I didn't really care about
the landing. There was a camera cut right before Lumis landed.
But I like the way he stood up like that and looked left and right. That for me, I was
cool. So many people give AEW bullshit when it comes to their fucking editing and all of their faux pas that they have. So when fucking WWE fucking have even the smallest blunder, I have to point it out so that you motherfuckers stay honest.
Yeah, at least we saw the fucking replay.
Who are you calling motherfuckers?
3 seconds later. What was that replay? He landed the replay beautifully. You know, and I'm assuming when they do replays, they actually do the move again. So technically he did it live again. So that's good.
Well, without the case, I mean, it was awesome. You know, that match, and of course,
let me go right quick back to Dexter's, his theme. Did they remix the music? It sounded like they did.
It sounded the same.
Well, it sounded, but it was remixed. And I didn't like
But you're a sound guy. But you're a sound guy. You heard that. They probably very well did.
Yeah, they changed it a little bit. I don't like it. They should have just kept it the way it was. But it's all right. Yeah. Request?
Put in your request right now. Tell them to change it back. Yeah. And we'll be back by next week.
Yes. Yeah, because they're watching this show. Stare into the pits of their soul right through the camera and just tell them.
Yeah. Change it back. Thank you.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Another good match to that. That I really, sure really
change it back after that.
Yeah, it should. I think so. You didn't got real close to him. I was a little nervous.
I thought wasn't that Keith Lee who was just on TV?
Oh man, no.
We took a picture with Keith Lee, and I was looking at both of them. The only difference was that Impact was a little bit shorter, but they looked like the same person.
Mm-mm. Anyways. We'll go ahead and go on to the next part.
I'm glad you made that joke.
Yeah. The other great match that I really enjoyed because I like where it's going is Shotzi Blackheart, which I want to put on the side note, new NXT crush for Simon Street. Not to mention, she's just an awesome competitor, and I'm sure we'll see great things. But her versus Mercedes Martinez with the Robert Stone brand.
Yes.
It was an impressive showing, obviously, for Mercedes Martinez, who has a wealth of experience, and it was great. And then you know, anytime I see Shotzi Blackheart, other than her being beautiful, just her in the ring, she is something to behold. And I can't wait to see, you know, what happens in the future with her. But that was an excellent match. You know, unfortunately, Shotzi lost, you know, but it was pretty cool. I like to see what they're doing with the Robert Stone brand. I didn't think that was going to work when they tried to pitch it. Where the fuck
I'm enjoying Robert Stone. It's awesome. We have to see where they where they continue to go with it. But I mean, allow them to build the brand.
Yeah, let it become something. Who else is he going to add? Who's he going to add?
I don't know.
At this point, they need to add another male talent, or add a male talent, I should say, to his brand. To round that thing out, but I enjoy it.
So
as
you
well.
Don't understand the whole point of the gimmick,
Michaels. Just
maybe I don't. Just maybe I don't. On.
But let me ask you this: when she appeared with blonde hair, you seemed to not like Rhea's look at all.
I didn't like the blonde hair.
Why don't you like blonde hair?
No, I do. I just, oh. I don't know.
Why did you like it on her?
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't. I mean, maybe I'll have to see her a little bit more. I only saw her for a quick glance there. But
I thought she was gorgeous. I love her Mad Max look that she has. I mean, she's always had a Mad Max type of look.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now she's amazing. Another one to behold.
Yeah. And
it just gets super uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you know what? You just can't say it enough. TikTok, baby. Because Karrion Kross, Scarlett, must watch TV on Wednesday night. They never fail to do them justice. You look at Scarlett come out, you're on the edge of your seat, and then there's Karrion Kross behind her with those eyes. And, dude, you're like, fuck, man, I'm tuned in. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Except for that one person that said Scarlett sucks.
Yeah, I was like, you could hear it, and I was like, oh shit,
Scarlett, you suck. I'm like, god damn.
Yeah.
So Lucky, do you realize that you didn't talk about Chris Bay this week? So I don't know, man, you're just kind of
on to the next one, right?
What a real dick.
Pretty much. So I definitely want to talk about what I thought was the best match on Wednesday night, and that was Johnny Gargano and Roderick Strong.
Okay. You mean Peter Pan?
No. So here's the thing: is, you know, typically when you have a heel versus heel dynamic, it can be very interesting how everything shakes out. But I mean, they just from the start of the match, I mean, it started off surprisingly clean. Everything was, you know, solid, and it was just a great, great match. Johnny Gargano could very well be I hate to say favorite, but just one of the most consistent performers that WWE has on any brand, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. The guy always brings it every single night, and Roderick Strong is an amazing worker as well. As I said, best thing realistically, best match all week. Best match all week on any show.
Wow.
There's a good chance that they're turning those guys face. I think that's why you saw this match setting it up.
That sucks though, because did it just change Gargano's music?
Well, I don't think they'll turn Gargano. I think they will turn Strong.
They're turning Roderick and all those. They've been heels.
Especially when they get called up to the main roster. I mean, people are gonna want to cheer them. So it makes sense.
Did you guys like the Isaiah Scott and Jake Atlas match?
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
I thought it was
pretty good. That was a good. Well, I mean, Jake Atlas. I mean, again, you know, from what they said off the injury, you know, I think this was his first match back. I think they said he looked really impressive. Glad to see him back in action. I mean, the dude is just amazing. I've said it before. Got teased for it, but it's fine. And Isaiah Scott is another guy. You know what I mean? I mean, again, like when I look at the NXT roster right now, I'm looking not just what we presently have at NXT. I'm looking to see how when they go on to do bigger and better things, how good they are. Like this class right now of NXT is great. Like, even down to who King Lucky can't stand, Cameron Grimes. Like, that shit's fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't lose with this roster. And, you know, I'm excited every Wednesday to see what the fuck's going to happen next.
And the women's tag match that started off the entire show was fucking awesome as well. Cool. And I think that, you know, I'm surprised that no one has mentioned that one. But, yeah, solid match. Tegan and Io against Dakota Kai and Candice LeRae. All four ladies brought it. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty funny that, we talk nonstop about the AEW women's roster and how bad it is. But just as bad as the AEW women's roster is, how good the NXT women's roster is from top to bottom. It can be said that the women's roster could very well be carrying NXT right now.
I agree. I would say I would say that's pretty damn close, because
it's close.
All of the matches.
Close. I don't remember, like, genuinely, out of the time that NXT's been in existence, I don't remember there being this solid of a women's roster from top to bottom on that brand. Now, obviously, you've always had, you know, a couple of diamonds and, you know, a couple of aces at the top of that women's division. But, I mean, just, you know, these four in this match, you mentioned Shotzi. You've got so many things going on with so many women on this brand. And I think that is something that is being overshadowed, or it not getting all of the shine that it should. And I think that's really fucking sad. So.
Yeah, but at the same time, the reason that it's not the carrier of the brand, it's just as simple as this. For all the women who are phenomenal, you also have some of the most phenomenal guys.
Yeah, you do.
It's overall the best roster that's probably been assembled in, you know, possibly, you know, all of wrestling ever. With a group,
definitely all of NXT.
Yeah. And I will say this, speaking of NXT history, what we're seeing as a season, or not season, like a class that we're seeing right now is what we all wished as when NXT first came out, you would see the first iteration and then the next generation, the next generation. But imagine if all those great iterations of NXT when it first started out was one season constant. That's what we're getting right now. We are getting great, 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 great entertainment. I mean, like, it's hard to find faults with some of the things to do. Like, we talked about the camera angle, yeah. I mean, but we don't often see that.
Bro, it's grasping for straws at this point, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's grasping for straws. They're firing on all cylinders, and I have no problem saying that NXT is the best brand as far as watchability and actually most enjoyable product in all of WWE.
So
how long is it?
Exactly.
So let me ask you this, Sin City. Why do you think that when it comes to ratings, why NXT doesn't show that they're beating AEW on a consistent basis? Being that what you're saying, and everyone agrees that this is one of the best of all times, why is it the ratings showing that? Why are people tuning in to one versus the other? That's, you know, or what's going on with that?
So it's something that is really staggering. I mean, you know, you got to look at it. NXT is the developmental brand.
Correct.
And we've talked about this numerous times on the show. And it's been brought into the storyline in AEW as far as demographics. But realistically speaking, NXT's number is being floated by people over the age of 50 years old. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with people over the age of 50 watching wrestling by any means. I'm not saying that, but I'm specifically answering your question.
Sure, yeah.
About why the AEW is rating number is higher, and that is because AEW is being viewed currently as the alternative, and you have a lot of lapsed fans that have this animus toward WWE for whatever reason, and you know it could be.
But most of that comes from Raw and SmackDown, as far as the younger viewers,
a couple of weeks ago, this is no bullshit. You can go back and look it up. There were 6,000 males 18 to 34 that watched NXT. 6,000.
So what's the number on the network?
Million. Is it a million and a half?
I don't know. What I'm saying is, so you're in a situation where, yeah, the older audience is going to be watching TV, whereas I think the younger kids, if they're tuning into AEW.
Oh, he glitched out again.
That's a shame.
Usually some of his more poignant pearls of wisdom are you just going to watch it on Netflix.
What I'm saying is it's on the network. Yeah. People are probably watching it. Younger people are probably watching it on the network.
Which does make sense because, you know, accessibility, I'll be honest with you, I mean, having a 15-year-old daughter and, you know, nieces that are, you know, upwards to 20, 21, 22, you know, their accessibility and how they watch things, they're looking for on the fly or they're looking on their cell phone. And that's not to say that you can't watch AEW that way. But if you look at what's readily available, NXT is readily available on the network. And I can see someone in that age, you know, demographic, just downloading the app, paying whatever they have to pay and watching it like that.
So when, how long does it take for NXT to come on the network once it airs that Wednesday, that same night? Or is it a week after?
I think it's right afterwards, right?
Right after it runs. So, I mean, realistically speaking, if WWE would, you know, want to play hardball with it and actually focus on not network numbers as far as, like, you know, people watching the show, this show on the network, and if they wanted to focus on USA Nielsen ratings numbers, what they should do is they should apply the same principle that they do with Raw and SmackDown, where they will post the episodes on about a month's delay to the network.
Right.
So that way, the only way that you can watch it is on USA, unless you wanted to wait a month, and then at that point you'd be able to see it on the network.
So maybe WWE, maybe they are correct when they say that, you know, it's there with them, it's really truly not about competition. You don't buy that then? Because if it really was about competition, then they literally could put moves in place that can really cause that, but they're not really doing that at all. I mean, they're really just, you know, treating it as it is, developmental TV programming. Mm-hmm. But for them, maybe it isn't.
I think that ultimately you're going to start to see it really wouldn't surprise me if you see some sort of a change that comes to their mentality with this. As you start to see mainstream publications start to talk about ratings numbers and how things are being painted in somewhat of a negative light. We all know how much Vince and everybody within WWE craves that mainstream positive media attention. That I should have changed the syntax in that, but the positive media attention, you know, so that's something that is, you know, that's something to definitely keep in mind. So I do want to just mention, Facebook. We've got some really good comments coming in right now.
Let's hear them.
So Tristan, he's doing a little bit of a deep dive with this stuff. He's saying that, you know, NXT has the talent capabilities of AEW, but the time allotment of only 2 hours, they truly have more talent than they can truly use. The only difference between AEW and NXT in general is the name recognition AEW has. Network is also international viewership. Network viewership is more comparable to Dark, in his opinion.
Okay. Got you.
Very good points. Very good points.
Hey, with go ahead, man.
No. I was just going to kind of add to that is I think it's interesting to say that. Let's just be honest. When we look at from the start of this Wednesday Night War, whatever you want to call it, AEW freshly starting out, coming off of some good steam, and have a pretty decent product given, you know, what they're kind of up against for viewership on Wednesday. And then you have NXT, which by now is established, very, very well established. They know what kind of, you know, if they need to reach into their bag to pull audibles, they could, let's put it that way. But I do think that to a certain extent, it's important that we also look at what competition, whether or not they really want to choose to look at competition, but other options of viewer, what that does to WWE in the history. You know, I think that it has put a bug in their ear to say, okay, well, how can we up our game? Because even though, let's be honest, if you look at it, the tail of the tape, yeah, WWE is probably going to crush AEW for the most part, and that's okay. But you have to understand that WWE is not just satisfied with just, hey, we're going to beat them in sheer numbers. They want to find ways to where they're the number one, what's talked about on Wednesday. And so that's kind of like what I was hearing Sensei Steve was saying is, you know, if AEW has a good night and NXT doesn't, there's going to be problems. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to try and pivot and fix it because they don't want to be ever, you know, mm-hmm. without a night to where they have the best product out there.
Vince hates being upstaged.
Mm-hmm.
Last question I'll throw out there, and then we'll move over to AEW. Just curiosity, with Ever-Rise, do they kind of remind y'all of the Rockers a little bit? Like how they...
They more so remind me of the Young Bucks.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, you would say that.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they are a little bit. I mean,
I guess they took it old school, but I just whenever I see the music...
Well, their ring entrance is old school. Yeah. Like, if you look at their ring entrance, it's totally like 80s, early 90s.
Right.
The only thing they're missing... is the pose.
Thank you for doing that. Let's now just move over to now AEW.
Well, apparently AEW can now use son of a bitch, or bitch, because there was a lot of bitches. They allowed them to say bitch. Everybody said it.
Son of L bitch.
Son of a bitch.
L bitch.
L bitch.
I was going to say Kaz is going to end up saying fuck at least once.
I can't wait.
I thought it was a decent show. I mean, you know, the one thing I do like is I miss seeing Moxley on a regular basis.
Oh.
You know, I'll be honest. I miss him on a regular basis. I like the promo that he did. You know, obviously, I'm sure Steve would do a better job of, you know, narrating, you know, how great of the match with, you know, him. And I like to call him Quiet, the Quiet Skater. You know, they teamed up. You know, I thought that was good. There were some matches I was kind of like, I just didn't understand, you know, the whole Dark Order, you know, tag team. You know, was that a tag team championship match? Yeah, I just didn't care for it toward the end a little bit. But, you know, hey. But I thought it was a good show. You know, I'm never displeased by them too much.
Well, I will say this. Give a shout-out to, man, MJF. Mm-hmm. That promo,
he's
man.
He's supposed to look his and he's 23 years old.
Yep. Dude. I don't
what
know.
Did King Lucky think of that? What did King Lucky think of that? He was talking to you. He was talking to you.
Yeah.
You're talking directly to your ass.
Sometimes you just got to call a beaver a beaver.
Yeah, he showed you call that beaver.
I thought overall AEW was an entertaining show. You know, there were some things that, like Matt Cardona debuting, he looked great, but I felt like his debut fell flat. Yeah, I think that, you know,
That's the thing. That's the problem. Like, if you don't watch WWE television, and even if you do, he doesn't look exactly the same. Who the fuck is he?
I think they should do a better job of that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. More context.
That was a little.
Yeah, basically, that they need to follow it up next week, and they need to have a vignette or a promo where. And I'm not saying that he come out and he bury WWE or anything like that. But what he needs to do is he needs to introduce himself as himself to the AEW roster, but also, you know, the fans watching at home. And I say the roster because those are the only people in the audience. But realistically, you know, that's what needs to happen. We need more consistent character building from AEW. I think that they started to do a lot of really great things, but they have fallen short, and I'm not going to let them use, you know, COVID as an excuse, because we didn't let WWE use COVID as an excuse for anything earlier. So I definitely look for them to continue to attempt to be creative with things. And if they're not even attempting to be creative with things, then I will definitely call them out on it. I didn't mean to step on what you were saying, Lucky.
So, yeah, no, continue. We also got all great points. We also got Anna Jay back. She's under what, Michaels? Under a mask. So we got her back this week.
Hey, at least she's showing that she wears a mask. And people, you should wear masks right now.
pay no attention to the fact that it was a mask that she picked up, or that somebody picked up at Party City earlier on in the day. And then glued on some fucking sequins too.
Yeah. But you know, elsewhere, I thought I was interested to see that Arianne made her debut. Arianne made
Arianne. What?
Oh, wow.
That's a whole different.
She just took one hell of a turn.
They brought the New World Order back.
There you go.
Alex Wright.
Her being on the show, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because, you know, she, out of the two, with her and Trinity, or Naomi, if you will, I thought Naomi was always the more talented one. So, I mean, while it is a good get for AEW.
Is it really, though?
Yeah, it's not, bro. Sorry.
Really?
Oh, it's another woman.
Maybe by now she has learned that
how to wrestle?
Actually count a pinfall, that her opponent has to be lying on her back.
Girl, bye.
Yeah.
But the funk is going to roll.
The funk is going to roll.
Something.
But I think that is the biggest draw. Like, what will she do, right, Lucky? What will she do?
Yeah. Overall, I thought it was a good show, though. No complaints.
Yeah, So, by the way, I don't want to fucking hear that somebody from AEW doesn't watch this show or listen to this show.
Okay, here we go.
Did you guys notice what happened during the Taz promo?
I didn't know.
No?
I'm trying to recall it. I mean, there was a lot that was said. Please.
Really bad podcast when we just don't say anything.
I know.
Yeah.
But okay, so during the Taz promo, he specifically made a point when he was in front of Brian Cage talking.
Oh, yeah.
And then he made the point of, oh, wait, let me get behind my man Cage.
Yeah.
So
what's
up, Taz, or whoever from AEW that's listening to the show? Thank you for listening.
That's hella crazy, though. It's almost to the point now to where we either really delusional motherfuckers or this shit just real.
Hey, bro. By the way, Brian, thank you for watching the show and listening. You know, we've always had your back, so.
Always.
Keep up the good work.
Speaking of backs, how about that
thumbtack
skateboard bump that Ricky Starks took?
Dude, you know who wrote that segment, right? Who wrote that segment?
I'm sure it was Cody.
Cody, for sure.
So all I know is I saw what was going on, and I saw Darby going up to the top with that thumbtack skateboard, and I saw Ricky Starks bent over in the middle of the ring, and I'm like, oh, God. This will not end fucking well unless he sticks a landing. Boy, did you guys see the photos of
that? Oh, I saw it. It looked pretty gnarly.
Dude, like the super high-quality photos that they – took after like getting his back cleaned up and, you know, getting all of the first aid administered. Welcome to AEW, Ricky Starks.
Blood in, blood out.
But so here's the thing. I think that match did accomplish a couple of good things. It definitely, you know, helped to further the storyline, but also it helped to set up the Darby Allin versus Moxley match for next week. Which, you know, whatever happens in that match. I think that, unfortunately, we already know what's going to happen as far as who's going to walk out with the championship. Which I hate those types of things where a match is booked and you already know what's going to happen the final result of the match. Now, obviously, there may be some storyline fallout that happens as a result, and I genuinely hope that that's the case with this particular match. I thought that, you know, like you guys had mentioned, the Omega and Page and Dark Order match wasn't too high on that one. But a match that I was pretty high on was Cody and Warhorse.
Yeah.
I thought that Warhorse gave one hell of a performance for somebody, you know, not even in the company, essentially getting a tryout match. And I do have to applaud Cody or whoever the agent was in the Cody match, I should say, for, you know, continually week in, week out, the guys that Cody is in there with Cody makes them look like a million fucking dollars, whether or not they're roster members. So, you know, kudos to Cody. Kudos to whoever is, you know, the agent in the match. You know, obviously you've got your 10-man tag, which was cool too. And you best didn't friends it. And friends. What?
You didn't mention what happened after the Cody match.
Well,
I mean, I was just saying, you know.
I think so. Honestly, it was so forgettable that we don't even need to mention it.
No, but didn't we just talk about Matt Curt?
Well, I was just saying it was part of the whole goddamn part of the match. You know, why not talk about it?
Yeah,
because we already talked about it.
We didn't talk about it in common place. What happened afterwards? I'm just saying, man.
So yeah, basically. If you're going to do a no pun intended, Impact debut like that, then you shouldn't do it with nobody in attendance. I think that's the big thing that we've learned from AEW is, you know, you have debuts like FTR, which, call it what you want, that debut fell flat on its face. You've got this debut with fucking Matt Cardona, and this debut fell flat on its fucking face.
He needed a car.
Oh, well, you are stating facts, Sin City Steve. I was still mildly excited to see him.
Oh yeah,
you know, out. You know,
I would love nothing more than, you know, for him to do extremely well. I did read though that he is on a limited deal as of right now, like 5 appearance deal. So I don't know just what the fuck's going on there.
Wow,
but. Yeah, it's a really short deal. So
he waiting for WWE to say y'all can come on back now.
No, it'll be an Impact Wrestling check,
so he can go and wrestle with his boy Brian Myers.
Hey, DJ, question for you on Impact Wrestling last week. I think you said Motor City Machine Guns, and who was the other person who goes by Machine Gun?
Oh, Carl.
Chad, too bad.
Well, he don't go by the call anymore, but
so
he's gonna go by Machine Gun.
Okay.
So did you find it interesting or confusing this week that you have Warlord and War Horse now? AEW.
You know, I will tell you
just
this.
Just waiting for, like, you know.
Another
war character.
Yeah, I will say this, because I'm not familiar with War Horse. So when I saw him, when I saw the name before I saw him, just quickly, I was like, well, they're not the same people, right? You know, I got, well, I'm just saying, I know it did cross. I mean, before I saw him, I'm just saying the name, right. You know, because, but I'm, you know. So it's funny you actually said that, but I didn't put too much on it. I mean, the machine was just obvious, but this, you know, for a quick second, I did have, you know, my thoughts, and then I figured out, that could not have been. But I'll tell you this, we got Jericho, right, and Cassidy again, and this time, he's going to have to pay for the $7,000 jacket. Do y'all think that's a $7,000 jacket?
Stupid son of a bitch.
Son of L bitch.
You know what's so sad about Jericho is he seems to have the worst luck with expensive jackets. Yep. Don't you think his ass would learn? Don't be buying that expensive shit and bringing it to the ring.
I think it's funny that it's still stained.
It's true.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He invested,
you know, what, a month later?
Yeah, he invested the $7,000 to get the jacket.
Yeah.
But he can't pay the $200 to get the
fucking Jericho.
let me ask you guys, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I just want to echo your point really quickly, DJ Impact, about MJF and the promo that he cut. I mean, dude, the guy is on another level from everybody else right now in the professional wrestling business.
I think he said that Moxley was cosplaying Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
he did. I mean, like, his shit was official. Dude,
MJF, seriously, we got to stop calling him the future of this business.
He is because the
future is now. To steal a line from that other show on Wednesday.
Yeah. Somebody put a bet on that boy.
Don't worry, they will it all out.
Is he getting the title?
I was gonna say, don't worry, they will it all out.
And may he reign, for a long extended period, because that man right there, there's only been one other person I will say that when he opens his mouth, I will listen for 30 to 45 minutes, and that was The Rock. MJF is on that level, or close to that level right now, because...
Okay, he's lost his mind anyway.
Fuck you. All I was going to say was at the end of the day, MJF, for that high standard I just gave him, if he had to talk for an extra 20 fucking minutes, I would have fucking still been listening.
MJF is the new standard in this business.
Bam. There you go. Let me ask y'all, so let's go back to the TNT title. Does anybody believe, even at this point right now, that Cody still should be holding the belt? I'm just curious.
Scorpio yes, Sky, baby.
He should. He should be holding the belt.
You say he should.
He should Sin be
City,
the belt.
Sin City said yes. King Lucky, you says?
Scorpio Sky.
Okay, and then Matt Michaels.
He didn't ask that question. Yes, yeah. Yes or no?
I guess that means no. Matt Michaels.
That means no.
Nah. He can do what he's doing, putting other wrestlers over, making him look good without the title.
See, because what I
the problem is that it's you've got a network involved, and the network is saying who should be the champion.
Exactly.
That's what we're running into. It's not an issue of whether he should be or not. It's an issue of who does TNT and Turner want to have the championship, bottom line.
Well, here's my other problem with that whole title setup, and I even talked about it in the show a little bit, is if someone beats him for the title, they're not technically signed to AEW. And that's something I think that they need to address.
Let me just quickly – the reason why I brought that up is because – I have mentioned how I was pretty impressed last week with Eddie Kingston and just his promo, okay? And they had a match, and the match was okay. I just wasn't necessarily sold on the performance based on the promo. But at the same time, as we are aware of, Eddie Kingston signed with AEW. So I'm just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they didn't know this before, because I know they would not let someone who isn't signed take the belt. But if there was a chance Eddie was going to get signed, that would have been a good chance, I thought, to have taken that belt. Would you not think?
Did you listen to what Steve just said right before he said that?
He said that TNT are the ones that makes that decision. I hear that.
Yeah.
But why not? But why not then those at AEW help them make that decision? TNT don't know who these people are. They know who they want to be the one who hold it.
Yeah, but who the fuck is he? He's not a person that TNT can put their title that they created for their revenue stream and their money and their fucking ratings. They're not going to put it on someone that they have no fucking clue who it is.
But why not sell the idea that Eddie could be the future? Overall, it's going to bring...
Why who to not say it's not... The idea
I will tell you why. I will tell you why. Because right now, Cody's the perfect person to have that fucking title, because he can work what the freaking network is demanding. If you put that belt on somebody who's new, and nobody has any background information, or unless originally where they're from, they're not. That's unrealistic expectation to put
I don't
on
know.
That individual.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, Cody, he's going to be good. He's no matter what. Eddie, although I'm not familiar with, he seems like a person who, if he comes in as being dominant, he can now create a whole new stardom. Now Eddie can become that name of like Cody. You know what I'm saying?
Re-say what you just said.
No, tell me what's wrong with what I just said.
No, just say it. No. I'm asking you to repeat it. If he is what? Built dominant. Is that what you said?
He's being built dominant coming in already, yes.
Okay. So, and you're talking about the guy that he faced last week, right? Not Cody now.
No, he faced Cody.
I'm trying to... Okay.
Jesus Christ, Rome, you've just, Simon Street, you've just,
No, I was asking him to repeat it because I couldn't hear. He cut out a little bit. I said, were you saying the guy he faced last week?
Right. So I don't.
Yes.
So
are we pausing or are we?
No, no, no. I think so. Simon Street wasn't on the show last week, but I'm assuming maybe you still watched AEW. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I was just saying that he had a match with Cody. And this is the reason why I was just asking you guys, do you guys believe that he should be still holding the title? Two of you said yes, two of you said no. And I'm just saying, I also am one of the ones who don't believe he should be. So what I'm saying is, Eddie apparently is great on the mic. I'm not too familiar with his ring out ethic outside of what I did see from that first match. But if it's promising to the point where AEW said we're going to sign him, and he's, you know, for those who are familiar with him, they do know him, he could become a new name off the bat that now they have someone that they have someone else they can rely on to carry on with a, you know, the brand of AEW.
So now you're doing the hand job with just hand. You're shooting the load before you've gotten the full career. The honest answer to it is very simple. One, you're still in the pandemic, okay?
Yes.
You got no crowd. We've already just established that these guys are just like farting in church when it comes to them coming in with no crowd. Number two, you have to fucking let Cody fucking, again, I don't think he should have the title, but if you're going to do it this way, let him have the title for a long run of guys. And then when he defeats that one person that comes in that already is signed, but no one knows about it, then you put the title on him, but you can give it time. That's okay. The title. I know it's COVID and everything, but the title is only what, 2 months
exactly.
old?
Exactly. Yeah. That was actually the point that I was going to make. I mean, you have to legitimize the championship first, because if you ping pong it to all sorts of different people right away, then that title is going to lose any and all credibility, and it's going to be viewed something similar to the 24/7 championship in WWE.
That part.
Plus, I know it sounds like TNT title sounds like the TNA title, but totally different circumstances, brother.
And it's legitimate, and you don't have to contact the board to actually get the title shot.
Okay. FTR.
And I think one of the things that is kind of like understood with the whole thing, and this is something that Tristan says in the chat as well, is he's saying that win the title, get a contract with it. I think that's something that's kind of inferred, that if you win the championship, you're gonna get a contract as well as the championship.
But then what about last week, though? He didn't win the championship, but he got a contract.
Correct.
So that should be something that should be addressed. Kind of like what they did at NXT with your boy, the Cruiserweight Championship. I mean, they've done it a couple of times where he didn't win the title, but they gave him I like when they come out because it shows, like, even though you didn't win a contract, like we had promised, right? We're going to give you one anyways. And I think that AEW needs to do something similar to that.
Not every week, right?
I
need a clarification from
you.
Basically, you know, if are you wanting them to come out like after the match, like, or are you wanting like Tony Khan to come out onto the stage and say, you know, we appreciate what you've done. We're going to go ahead and just offer you a contract now.
I wouldn't say do that on Dynamite, but I'd say on Dark, that would be a perfect time to do that, because then that's going to make people have something to talk about with Dark other than what they already have, which is good stuff. Okay. I would say that to me, my opinion on that one. But yeah, it should be some kind of full connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Gotcha.
We got FTR that officially signed, and Tag Team Appreciation Night is set for August 12th.
Yes.
Get them tag ropes ready, boys.
Yes, I am excited.
This is the total opposite of what we were just talking about, literally.
I know.
Talked about that because of the fact that they just signed the contract.
Yep. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I thought it was funny, though.
All right, over to our last show, WWE SmackDown. Are you ready? Are you ready for
it? I was actually ready.
Best show of the week.
Oh.
It was good. I wouldn't say the best show of the week, but it was good. Good second.
Wait, let's let King Lucky. We haven't heard of King Lucky talk in a minute. I want to hear his voice on something, man.
I mean, we heard him recap both WWE shows in full. So I mean, we were giving him a minute to recover.
That's true. So go ahead.
Nonetheless,
AEW too. Impact Wrestling, not so much. Okay. Yes, I thought it was the best show of the week, without question. the Shorty G heel turn was great. And I have not been a fan of Shorty G.
It wasn't a heel turn. It wasn't a heel turn. He just took the money. It's no so different from you. You're not a bad guy. You take the money.
I told that man to come back there and give me my money.
Listen, I think it's going to be a heel turn.
It might be, man. If it is,
I think it's going to be great for him. You know,
can he change his name though?
Please,
yes, dude. First of all, change his name and change his attire.
Yeah, have him stop looking like little T-Mac from fucking Punch Out, Nintendo's Punch Out.
Obviously, you guys know the rib on that. They're making him. They got him dressed like a basketball player when he's the shortest guy on the roster, right? I'm serious. It's like, so that's the gig.
It's so disrespectful.
Fresh coat of paint on him. Let's go. I thought the Big E versus the Miz match was good. It was spot on. It delivered on what it needed to for Big E. The Mandy and Sonya Deville segment, fuck, that was intense. She beat the shit out of her. And, wow, that was really good work by Sonya Deville. Elsewhere, Nikki versus Bayley, solid match from start to beginning. And
wow. Did you just do a syllable clap?
And you said from start to beginning.
Did I say start to beginning? I was so wound up. It was that good.
He did a Bianca Belair.
How high are you right now? It was good.
Are you high?
No, I'm not high right now.
Because we're not.
But I will say that I really enjoyed, too, the feet at the end coming out and just attacking Alexa Bliss. And thus, this show was my favorite show of the week.
Oh, wow. We got a new segment.
There you go.
Yeah!
Wow.
King Lucky's favorite show of the week.
Nothing more needs to be said. Yeah. Good night, guys.
Let's just end the show.
That's it. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for tuning in.
No, not really. We're going to continue to talk.
Right. All right. Well, go ahead, guys. What else you want to take on this? You know, maybe with the ransom, maybe he can get the King's ransom. Maybe Shorty G can go ahead and purchase some new gear. You know,
buy some charisma too.
You know what,
dude? It's very simple. You have him now shave his head and come out as Prince G.
Yep.
Oh no.
Yep.
Dude, I love it.
Either that, or else he can be the royal jester or some shit.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Put him in a jester outfit.
They would. WWE would rather make him the jester and not give him any kind of shine with it. That's something that would happen with WWE.
If they're watching, cut the check. Michael just gave you the angle right there.
You know something, King Lucky? You actually didn't even mention everything in the show. You didn't even mention the Intercontinental
Championship. Yeah, you recapped literally everything on the show except for one thing.
It's not my whole fucking show. It's the Vegas Bad Boys, not Bad Boy. So there you go.
But you kept everything.
Whatever you want.
But you kept in everything but that. It's like you just totally forgot it. You know, that's all I'm saying. It's okay. Well, look, let's talk about it, right? We had AJ Styles against Grand Metalik, which, hey.
That was a good match.
Oh, that's the reason why. Because it was a 205 guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So you didn't watch it anyway.
I did watch that match.
Shit.
Yeah.
Overall, though, good.
Lucky, I have to ask, what was your opinion of seeing Grand Metalik for the first time?
I thought it was actually.
That was there, yeah.
He's a little short for me, but I thought it was. No, I'm just kidding. It was a good match. It was. But
So are you going to start participating in Lucha House Parties?
Yeah, I would actually. Lucha House Party, I'm down with it.
Both of those guys, right?
Why not?
Hey, man, as long as they're having the house party, they got the masks on, so
yeah. You know what I might add to? Shinsuke Nakamura probably speaks better Spanish than he does English.
He does. Hey, I'll tell you what, the most impressive move is when Shorty G rolled that fucking suplex. That
Yeah. Yeah, that looked nice.
Jesus Christ, that was good.
Yeah, it's something that I've been trying to tell you since he's been with WWE that Shorty G is fucking awesome.
He got skills, man.
I know. No, seriously, like he is one of the most technically gifted performers on SmackDown.
But look,
but do you know? But do you know? But do you know he really skilled though? Be real with me. I mean, come on now.
Yes, I know.
You know? Okay, so you won't have no problem from now on for a full month recapping any matches that Shorty G is involved with. From start match to finish match. Not from start to beginning.
Listen, I know the guy is talented. Okay? I just hate the shit gimmicks that they give him. That's it.
He just want justice for Shorty G.
He wants better
justice for fucking Shorty G.
Now
he's Prince G or whatever.
You are really pushing hard for Prince G.
I think it would be good for him to come out and be part of Baron Corbin's, you know, shtick. I think would be really good for him.
Let me tell you something. If I see that they call him Prince G, I'm demanding checks. I'm just telling you. I'm demanding checks.
I mean, they'll probably call him Prince Gable.
Oh, that's hard. That's even worse. That's even worse.
I like that.
Put his ass in a court jester suit and have his ass fucking juggle.
Yeah. Can I just say that I am extremely happy that they gave Big E a new finisher.
Oh right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been a huge fan of the Big Ending. And if anybody is going to use the stretch muffler, it may as well be Big E, because, dude, the guy is a brick shithouse. Like,
yeah,
it is a believable finish.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm on board with the solo push. Like, send him to the moon.
You know, I have one last. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
I was going to say we need to talk about this Sister Abigail thing. I mean, we've talked about it. But, I mean, is this...
All right, come on.
I don't know if it's going to be Sister
DJ Impact, before you were so rudely interrupted, please continue.
Fuck you guys.
No, only thing I was going to say is, did you all think that when Big E came out that he was just going to come out to New Day's theme and everything? And did you think he was going to have a whole different sort of, you know, beginning?
For now, he's going to have New Day's stuff.
Yeah.
I would
like him to go back to his old music.
Yeah, three ain't enough, man. I need five.
Yeah.
But when Kofi was champ, he was New Day music.
So. Yeah, that's true. No, keep that same.
You're never going to have him with different music unless he turns heel at some point. But I think it's always New Day.
Okay.
Well, I'm just glad that he's not, I'm just glad he's not pulling pancakes out of his pants anymore.
Thank God.
I'm glad that stopped.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys this about wrestling. One thing that I'm enjoying, especially from a WWE fan perspective, from what I've been watching, I'm enjoying that the wrestlers that are playing as the audience. Well, I'll tell you what I really enjoy, the fact that they actually, you know, cheer the faces and boo the heels. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy that. Because that's the one thing that annoys me the most.
Well, that's
because
Vince McMahon told him that.
It doesn't matter. It just, to me, it's a lot of times it just makes sense. You know, that's one thing that all the smarks out there annoy me with, that they can confuse everything and then they want to talk shit about it. You know, people who are supposed to be, you know, the heels, they want to cheer. I can get that. I can get that sometimes, but it shouldn't be all the time. And that's where I noticed all the time back when there were fans. So everything sounds the way it's supposed to be with how it is now. And I'm all right with it. I mean, AEW is the same way. You know, I like seeing that. So I'm enjoying that, because everything that is being presented sound-wise makes sense. You know? But outside of that, go ahead.
No, I think that the one thing that if people are listening to this and They haven't heard three count yet, which will be released on podcasts the next day. One of the things we talked about was three-man booths. And this guy who wrote this article failed to recognize that SmackDown has a two-man booth. And they're a pretty good two-man booth. So I think that, you know, one of the things that we kind of lose in this whole COVID thing is that fact that we're so used to the WWE having just this kind of cadence to it that you forget that these guys, these announcers, are still making the performances look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, give fair, you know, due. And yes, they did take JR out back and shoot him. So.
Oh God.
With sadness in their hearts that they had to lay down one of their very own family members.
Hey, man.
For the safety of everyone.
Vince pulled a head out of JR's ass once. So. I wouldn't be surprised if the final call for JR one day is to go back and be put out of his misery.
Well, I guess you guys don't have anything else to say about SmackDown. As far as the whole thing...
Oh, we're going
to
talk about the Sister Abigail shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to talk about Bray more? Why did Bray do that to old pretty Alexa?
Yeah, Lucky. Why'd he do that?
Well, he wants to hurt Braun Strowman, but I mean, you know, I think at this point they finally need to do the Sister Abigail thing. I mean, it's just whatever.
Speak your truth, brother.
Well, maybe when they find him, he'll pop up. I don't know.
But no, why the fuck would you have Alexa Bliss, who is an established person, be Sister Abigail? You're fucking talking out of your goddamn ass.
Did you hear me fucking say that? Did you hear me fucking say she was going to be fucking
bring it up? Because obviously you insinuated this last fucking whatever that pay-per-view was that they happened to use her. Oh, she's Sister Abigail. Oh, boy. Oh, this is going to be amazing. What the fuck, man?
I think the reason why he did that is because he's using her as bait to get to Braun, obviously. But one thing that I think is interesting is I think it's not going to be used in a way to where we see Braun save her. We're going to see it done in just this really effed up type of way to where he's doing mind games with her to make Braun believe that she is really in love with him when we know that's not true. That's just my opinion. This is where I usually get muted by Matt Michaels. I'm shocked I haven't yet.
No, because it's just so dumb that I don't even want to take energy.
I was waiting for the mute button.
Well, guys, look, we've said it all about wrestling, and we look forward to another week. So we're going to do our final thoughts just quickly because I know we're about to go a little bit over overtime. What's your take over when it comes to the NBA? I'm just curious, and you can maybe speak on this, King Lucky, but did you like the idea that they have these LED screens that's going across? And is it true that people are paying money to have their face on that LED screen while they're playing?
Yeah, that's what's being reported. I like it. I don't have an issue with it at all.
How much
you
think
the rabbit fan?
It's interesting.
It can be a
lot. Not a lot, huh?
It can be a lot.
Okay. No. Well, it's not a lot of faces.
The Dodgers are charging $150 to $250 for the card.
Yeah.
That is a lot. To be honest with you,
yeah, but it's for
that's
the
not
whole
a lot.
It's for the whole season, right?
Yeah, it's for the 30 games.
Oh, okay.
Not bad. It's not bad.
And you get the cutout authenticated by MLB and sent back to you at the end of the season.
The other thing with something like baseball doing that's really cool is if let's say that you are, you know, and you're in foul territory, and there's a foul ball that hits your player or your personal cutout.
Yeah.
Then they have your address information on file. They send you the ball.
That's pretty.
That's
dope.
Awesome. That is awesome. I would sign up for that shit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that having the sports back really now, you know, it's been refreshing.
It helps.
The NBA coming back. And you know, even if it's virtual sports and baseball started a couple of days before they did, you know, it's definitely good. It's a welcome sign.
How the hell is the NFL going to do that? I'm just curious.
They don't even know yet.
They won't.
They don't even know.
Every sport is kind of locked in, but I don't think the NFL even got a clue.
But I will say this, that the NFL and NHL, which is, you know, NHL starting first and then NFL, they could take some notes from UFC, NBA, and MLB.
And NHL just started. And it's
they have the tournament.
Started today, I think, right?
Yeah. I believe so.
Years ago.
They can all take notes from what these other ones have done and incorporate their own spin on it. But
NHL's the best.
NHL's the best?
Yep.
NHL is the best? Because I haven't had a chance. I have it taped. I haven't been able to watch any of it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. So I have to take your word for it and watch this.
And they're planning.
Watch.
They're playing in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what it comes down to is the first smart thing they did was they put tarps over the seats. It gives it such a cool look because of the fact that you're not distracted by empty seats. Kind of like what the NBA did by having it, you know, where it feels like it's an ice rink or it feels like it's a gym in the NBA's case.
Yeah.
And that really helps because you're kind of used to seeing that. Unlike baseball, it's in a bit, you know, football would be the same way. You just got big stadiums that have nothing. If you don't type over this,
right.
You know, it's a different, but NHL, what they did really smart was if a certain team has like a song they play after a goal, they'll play that regardless if it's home team or not home team, because they know it's not a fucking home court. So you get that. And then they use these NBC had these huge screens that, you know, it was just utilized. The space was utilized brilliantly.
Now, with the NHL setup, are they much like the NBA? Because they talked about it on, I think it was what, the Lakers game, how they now have access to so many more cameras than what they normally would because, you know, they don't have the crowd that they have to worry about. Is that how the NHL is having that setup? Did you notice more camera angles?
No, I don't think so. With them, it wasn't as prominent because – with hockey, you could only because of the way the puck goes, you're looking at a small.
Yeah, you have to look at it a further way, a pan, anyways.
Yeah, so you're either going to get a close shot on the ice, or you're going to get a pan out to see the movement. But the NBA has done a really great job as well.
I was very impressed with what I saw. I was like, wow! Like I was excited. Me and my son watched the whole game.
Last question, I just want to ask you guys. I know we're over on time already. Presumably, we don't get fans in attendance for next year's WrestleMania. Do they run a big stadium or do they run the PC again?
If they're smart, they'll do a stadium, but they'll do it to where it's sectioned off to where they can do more with it. You know what I mean? Because they'll have more planning. You know, they had to do everything on the fly, obviously, for this one.
The problem is very simple. They haven't been able to control Corona in the fucking performance center.
Yeah, exactly.
But would you do these kind of theatrics that NHL and NBA are doing? That's more so what I'm asking. Like, would you do this?
Listen, if it was up to me, it would be in a stadium. Hell, this year would have been in a stadium.
This year should have been in a stadium.
It's like
a close set.
You can't call your show the big show and then you put it in such a confined space that it doesn't live up to its name. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Even if
we can't realistically blame them though.
We know that. I mean, I get that.
Yeah,
I get
this
that.
This time, yes.
So do they go maybe the extra mile with it being WrestleMania and use CGI fans? Because it's WrestleMania?
It fucking looks horrible in baseball.
Yeah. No, that's kind of why I'm mentioning that.
The NBA gets away with it because of the fact that you're looking at this kind of straight plane.
Right.
You're not looking at fans in a crowd like that. So if you put it in a stadium or even in the performance center, it's just going to look
cluttered.
You're going to get things cutting off. Yeah. And the baseball thing was really, it was just like Fox is like, hey, we have this great idea, but it's in a beta mode. Let's just rush it.
My idea, if you know, the world doesn't unfuck itself by then, is to have, I don't want to say a full WrestleMania full of, you know, theatrical matches, but shoot matches from various locations.
Yeah.
So, you know, have the matches take place at certain venues. You know, you can shoot certain matches maybe on a beach, or because I know that they had floated the idea for SummerSlam of shooting it on a beach or even on a cruise ship or something stupid. But, you know, pick different locations and have each match mean something as a result. And you can frame each match as, you know, just as actually being important and get back to having quality over quantity at WrestleMania. That's my wish list for WrestleMania.
I'm with you on that one. We need to do something because I'll be honest with you, it looks like the movie scene is not going nowhere. They didn't push every goddamn movie.
Movies are done. Movies are
paused. And so I'm glad sports are back. I'm glad we obviously still have UFC, WWE. But I do want to see more quality incorporated. You have time to now plan. This shit has been going on.
Yep.
Close to about what? More than half a year for sure.
Yeah.
So pour what you can into it. Make us happy.
All right. Yep. Well, there we go, fellas. Great show tonight. Enjoyed it all. Let's give our final thoughts. I'm going to start with you, Simon Street. What do you want the people to know?
I just want the people to know that at the end of the day, be kind to one another. Always make that your top priority and be happy for the things that you have. That's it.
Okay. Sin City Steve.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing this with all of your friends and everybody. Special shout out to the Storm and Mormon for just being an amazing dude.
Absolutely.
And special shout out to Tristan in the chat tonight. He's thrown out some amazing quips and phrases and everything like that. Also keep in mind, guys, Vegas Bad Boys brought to you by Rep Sports. So they've got all of your pre-workout, your wellness needs, your workout regimen. It's all right there, REPPsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save 15%. So again, RepSports.com, promo code Vegas.
No doubt. King Lucky.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe. Good night.
All right. And Matt Michaels.
Congratulations, Bree, Bella, and Brian Danielson. You guys have a little baby boy. And boy, if Birdie and the new arrival end up being wrestlers, woo, watch out.
Didn't Nikki have a baby too?
Nikki had a baby too.
Yeah. That's why I rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, she induced her labor.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Nikki and whoever that dude was who... I'm not too. I know he danced on some star show or something.
Did he marry her? Or no? Because I think he proposed and she didn't say nothing or something. What? I don't watch.
I don't know, but she was. Congratulations for having a baby. And but Ian and Brian, way to go, guys.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to us. No matter if it's on our Zoom or listening to us on our podcast. We do this for you, and we thank you for riding with us.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.